This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. BOGO is back for 1 week only. Buy one and get one of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm free. Order at EdenPureDeals.com, code word Howie BOGO.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Happy Friday to everybody who's listening, and thank you so much for joining us. If you want to partake in the show today, we're going to take a lot of calls. The number is 844-500-4242, and I have a lot of questions for you. I have a lot of questions for the listeners, and today is one of those days where we're going to have a brainstorm. We're going to put our heads together and try to figure some stuff out. So definitely stay tuned and definitely call in if anything tickles your fancy. The first big story of the day is that Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul, was attacked at their San Francisco home early this morning by an assailant with a hammer. We don't know the motivations behind the attack. A police presser is set to begin any moment now. I will say crime is out of control in the Golden City. I was reading a story today in Fox, and they were putting into context some numbers from the police in San Francisco. And I'm talking double-digit increases in homicide, larceny thefts up 21%. Property crime is spiking 13%. It rose 13% in 2021. So these are all police-reported stats. And it is scary that if this can happen to Paul Pelosi, who I'm sure has a very expensive security system in place, lives in a very nice part of San Francisco, it shows you how bad things have gotten in that city. And it's not surprising to anyone who's been following this news in California, because you can read pieces on this almost every day about how far that beautiful place has fallen. And I don't want to say too much on this yet, because we're still waiting for a lot of information. We still have a lot of questions. He is recovering in the hospital. He is going to be okay by the reports I've seen. Nancy Pelosi, the speaker, was in D.C. at the time. And all I want to say for now is, and there's no sarcasm in this whatsoever, I sincerely hope that he's okay. I think it's awful that this happened to him. There's no excuses for it. And this is not something that we should take lightly. It's very scary. And I really liked Rand Paul's statement on this, because I think if anyone has experience with this kind of trauma, it would be Rand Paul. And he said, "No one deserves to be assaulted. Unlike Nancy Pelosi's daughter, who celebrated my assault, I condemn this attack and wish Mr. Pelosi a speedy recovery." I second that, leaving politics out of it, because violence is never right. And it's a very scary thing. And we're wishing Paul Pelosi the best. Again, we don't have all the information, so we're waiting for this police presser. Now, in other big news today, Elon Musk has officially taken over Twitter. He tweeted that the bird is free.
Elon Stalin.
Now, I'm going to read this from Reuters just to give you some of the basic details about how he commenced his reign at Twitter HQ. Musk fired Twitter chief executive Parag Agrawal and chief financial officer Ned Siegel and legal affairs and policy chief Vyasa Gadde, according to people familiar with the matter. He had accused them of misleading him and Twitter investors over the number of fake accounts, translation, bots. Now, they, I guess, according to Reuters, Agrawal and Siegel were in Twitter's SF headquarters when the deal was closed and they were escorted out. So he didn't come in walking on eggshells. He didn't come in tiptoeing around the elephant in the room. He came in.
Go.
And he decided to do what he wanted to do. Now, the meltdowns on Twitter, the subsequent meltdowns, have been delicious. I mean, I really need to give a huge round of applause to the snowflakes, the left-wing snowflakes on Twitter, because you outdo yourselves every time. Every time I think you can't get any better, I can't get any more unhinged. You prove me wrong. And I want to give some special shout outs here. Some honorable mentions. Some Profiles in Courage Awards. And let's start with Taylor Lorenz. Taylor Lorenz is, I think she writes now for the Washington Post. And she oftentimes is writing about like TikTok trends and talking about how she's very bullied on the app. And then when MSNBC did a segment on how she was bullied, people thought she had crocodile tears. So she started getting bullied about the segment. And then she blamed MSNBC for the segment because they didn't do a good enough job making her appear sympathetic. So she, this is what she tweeted. She said, "It's like the gates of hell opened on this site tonight. The gates of hell." Rick Wilson.
She's the serpent who guards the gates of hell.
Rick Wilson had a 9-part Twitter meltdown at the thought of Trump returning to the app. That was a big catalyst here for a lot of these people. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. You know,
like popsicles?
It's not Musk, you know, it's the fact that Musk might allow people like Donald Trump on the app that are really driving people insane. So he had a 9-part Twitter meltdown. I'm going to be perfectly frank with you. I didn't get through it. I saw a lot of buzzwords, you know, the typical like a dictator, Trump, all these things. But it's from the guy who told us he was going to make a movie about Trump like 5 years ago and GoFundMe'd a bunch of money for it, and the movie never came. He's from the Lincoln Project. I didn't feel that it was a good use of anyone's time for me to read those tweets on air. But just know that he's not doing well, okay? Just keep that in your mind, that Rick Wilson is not handling this well. Now, Trump was banned in January of 2021. And like I said, the big story today, if you're a liberal who's obsessed with Donald Trump, and your entire world revolves around this man, your biggest concern is that he will return. To those people, I want to say this. You know that expression from Dr. Seuss that's like, don't cry that it's over, smile that it happened. I want to put a positive spin on this. You guys almost got 2 years of no mean tweets being spread on Twitter. For 2 years, this place that was once a dumpster fire became a nice, civil place where people were having deep conversations and ideas could flourish. I'm just kidding. None of that happened when Trump was gone. The only thing that happened when Trump left was that Twitter became a lot less entertaining.
That is false.
Okay? That was the only thing that happened. Normalcy did not return. Peace did not return. Things did not go back to how they used to be. Everything just got a little bit more boring and we all had a little bit less fun for 2 years. Oh, and I have to read you one more. This actually might be my favorite take. I don't know. Why was Howie talking about Howard Dean yesterday? Was he just talking about the Howard Dean scream?
Yeah, because of the John Fetterman scream.
Okay, well, Howard Dean's back in the news. So in April, when
man,
this...
he's like Beetlejuice. We said his name too much,
yeah,
I guess.
I think that is what happened. In April, when the rumor started about Elon Musk taking over Twitter, he tweeted, "Hi, Twitterverse. Many thanks for the knowledge and sharing over the past 10 years or so." Oh, Jared, can I get a violin? Because this is so dramatic. This was Howard Dean when he first heard about Elon Musk in April. I got to get into character. "Hi, Twitterverse. Many thanks for the knowledge and sharing over the past 10 years or so. If Musk takes over, I will be off within a few hours. Might be just as well for my well-being, but I've learned a lot of valuable stuff from many of you. Thank you all. Howard." Yeah, he said Howard, and then he said, "Yeah!" Okay, so that's April, right? That's April. We get the big goodbye from Howard Dean. Now, let's fast forward to October 28th, 2022. Is that today or yesterday? Today. Thank you. I know a lot of things, but I don't know the date. So this is today. Can I get the violin again? "Hi, Twitterverse." He doesn't even change up the opening. "Elon Musk fired folks at Twitter, so I'm firing Elon, as I said I would. I hope to see you all on another platform. I'll stay on this one today for your suggestions. Thanks for all you've contributed. I still wear Brooks shoes made in the USA, thanks to you." Now, I need to give a massive shout out to Carol Markowitz for putting these two tweets together. And she responded to Howard Dean and said, "You already said goodbye and thanked us in April. Why are you still here?" This is the equivalent of, if Trump wins the election, I'm moving to Canada. Stop making promises you can't keep. It reminds me of the Michael Scott quote. I've made a lot of empty promises in my life, but that was by far the most generous. Stop giving me hope that you're going to leave and then you stay on, bro. You can't fool me like this. It's like Brett Favre or Tom Brady. How many times are you going to say goodbye? I don't believe you anymore. Oh, and by the way, Trump is happy that Elon Musk is back. He did not say whether he will return. And that's really my question for everybody is, do you think Trump will come back? Because he's got his own app now, Truth Social. But I don't think that even from a business perspective, although it might make more sense for him not to be on Twitter to promote his own app, and maybe it would be like counterintuitive to go back to Twitter, I don't think he can resist. I don't think he's strong enough to resist that. I think the temptation to go back to where he is the king troll of all time is going to outweigh any sort of business decision. But I'm curious if people would agree with me on that. We have a really great show planned for you today. We've got Caroline Leavitt in the 2 o'clock. We're going to talk a little bit about the Bolduc Hassan debates. We've got mortgage news for you. We've got more Twitter news. We've got tons of stuff to get to. And I would be remiss if I did not mention this, because to me, this is a big story. And I'm so happy we have Emma Foley in at the Howie Carr Radio Network now, because there's finally another woman who I can share some of my deep thoughts on these issues with. Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen announced today that they are officially divorcing. And I cannot lie to people. I am shocked by that. I know there's been rumblings. I know Page Six had it. I was preparing myself. But I'm still very surprised. And like, what a turn of events for Tom Brady. Everyone who listens to this show knows I'm TB's like number one fan. But man, the mighty have fallen. He went from top of the world, retiring, everybody's heaping praise on him for good reason, you're the GOAT. Then he comes back, it's kind of weird, it's like, why are you coming back? Now he's lost 3 games in a row, which is like the most he's ever lost, or something. It's the worst he's played in a long time. And now he's getting divorced. It just seems like a mess. The whole thing kind of makes me sad. And before people don't hate on me, because I know how people get. They're like, it shouldn't make you sad, you don't even know them. They're celebrities, who cares? Well, we all have our things, you know, and this is mine. But I think what really got him in trouble, and maybe we can talk about this a little bit. I think what got Tom in trouble was after he announced his retirement, he did this podcast where he talked about why he was retiring and how he didn't get to spend any time with his family and how he missed all these Christmases and birthdays and how it was time to move on to the next chapter. You can't go from that to, actually, I'd rather play football than hang out with all of you. I mean, that's got to sting. I'm going to be real with people. When it comes to who I'm siding with on this, and I love them both, but I understand where Gisele's coming from. I do get it. She's a celebrity. She's a megastar in her own right. I understand why she feels like enough is enough. I put my career on hold for a long time. That's just my 2 cents on that. It is a huge story today.
And she makes more money than he does, so I think she's actually losing in this settlement deal.
Yeah, and I don't even think for her at this point, it's not even about the money. They've got more money than they'll ever spend. It's just about when does there come a time where you start hanging out with us, you know, where you... But I think it's really hard, Jared. Remember how I told you I watched the Tony Hawk documentary? I think it's really hard for these people who break all these records and stuff to just go back to just life. I think their careers really define who they are, and they kind of lose their identities. I think they have a really hard time readjusting. So I think that's in play here, too. 844-500-4242. I had to mention it. It's a, you know, we're based out of Boston. It's a New England show. It's a big story. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Elon Musk. I want to hear your thoughts on whether or not Trump is going to return. He'll definitely be able to, I think. It's just a question of will he want to. 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Twitter is top of mind today for a lot of people as Elon Musk is officially taking over the social media platform. He said the bird is free. Tweedledee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. And people are melting down. The subsequent freakouts from the left are really a thing of beauty. I want to take these and turn them into NFTs and frame them in my living room. They're just really unbelievably unhinged from the left. And that brings us to our poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Rizzo Insurance. When was the last time you had your insurance audited? Rizzo saved one of my coworkers over $1,700. To get your insurance audited, go to rizzoinsurance.com. I also worked with Rizzo Insurance, and they're very easy to work with, very nice people, so definitely check them out. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
If Elon Musk reinstates President Trump, do you think he'll return to Twitter?
Logically, he shouldn't, because if he wants people to go to Truth Social, which is his social media app, he would only stay on there. He would not give Twitter the business, because then people aren't going to leave his app and go to Twitter if they can find all his stuff there. But I don't think this is going to be a decision he makes with his mind. I think this is going to be a decision he makes with his heart, because I think there's nothing in this world that Trump loves more than driving people insane on Twitter. And I just don't know if he'll be able to resist. So with all that being said, I'm going to go with yeah.
52% say yes. 48% say no.
Ooh, it's a close one. Go to gracecurlyshow.com to vote in that poll if you want to weigh in with what you think. Also, another funny observation that I saw floating around today, which sometimes I forget about, is none of this would have happened if some virtue signaling woke progressive at Twitter didn't decide to ban the Babylon Bee after they made a joke about how Rachel Levine is actually a man. That was the joke. So this is how it happened. If you miss this villain origin story of how Elon Musk decided to take over Twitter, Elon Musk is a huge fan of the Babylon Bee, which is a, you know, it's a satire website. It's like The Onion, but it's less left-leaning. And so he really likes the Babylon Bee. He's done podcasts with those guys. And they made this joke, and Twitter decided to ban them. And Elon Musk was mad because he likes seeing their headlines, and he considered them friends, and he likes their content. And that's what sparked this whole thing. It's like the butterfly effect. That's what put this whole entire thing in motion. So to the snowflake who decided one day at Twitter HQ to ban the Babylon Bee, thank you so much. You have led to a cultural shift in our society, and you're doing us all a great service. So job well done. You should have no regrets about that. Because if you didn't do that, if you didn't decide to play the Ministry of Truth that day, we might have never gotten Elon Musk as the new head of Twitter. I also want to play a little flashback for everybody, because at one point, someone who used to be on CNN, you might know him, Brian Stelter, he had this to say about what would happen if Elon Musk took over Twitter. This is a flashback, cut 15.
Which is, if you get invited to something where there are no rules, where there is total freedom for everybody, do you actually want to go to that party? Or are you going to decide to stay home? And that's a question for Twitter users. Some Twitter users might love the idea that there's going to be absolutely no moderation and no rules at all. Others might not want to be anywhere near that. Am I crazy, Matt?
No, you're right. And what happens to the advertising? I mean, if...
I want to go to the party. I'm excited for the party. Let the party begin. No rules under Elon Musk. Woo! All right, everyone. We'll be right back with more. 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
We are watching the midterms very, very closely. I've been checking the Real Clear Politics polls every day, and there's something very interesting happening. I don't know if people caught any of the Bolduc versus Maggie Hassan debate yesterday, but he's gaining on Maggie Hassan. I think she's up by 6 points, but he's really closing in on her compared to where he was about 2 weeks ago. And it got me thinking that Bolduc was one of these candidates that during the primaries, the Democrats were backing him and pouring money into beating his opponent, Morse, because they thought that they'd have a better shot at beating Bolduc. Now, why did they think they had a better shot at beating Bolduc? Because to them, he's an ultra, mega, MAGA Republican who is also an election denier. And they thought, I think the Democrats were depending on two things heading into these midterms. One, abortion. They keep throwing that at Republicans during debates. And Republicans are doing a great job, whether it's J.D. Vance, whether it's Carrie Lake, whether it's Bolduc. They're doing a great job of making their personal opinions clear, but also staying pretty moderate as far as what they're going to do if they win their seats. Now, they were depending on abortion, and they were depending on their voters thinking that Republicans were radical when it came to abortion. But a lot of these candidates, these Republican candidates, are able to kind of spell out what they think should happen without sounding radical at all. And in fact, a lot of them, including Bolduc, don't really want to change up what's happening in their states. They like the fact that because of the overturning of Roe versus Wade, it's going back to the states, but they don't want to ban abortion. And they're able to kind of separate how they feel about it with what they would do in a position of power. So that in and itself has become a problem for Democrats because they're having a harder time characterizing Republicans as like the Handmaid's Tale or whatever their shtick is when it comes to abortion. Now, the other part of this is the election denier part. And I'm working on a piece on this right now because I think that this is even more important. I think when they looked at someone like Bolduc, they thought we should back him because when it comes down to him versus Maggie Hassan, all we have to say is he was one of the election deniers. And then we paint the picture of, you know, QAnon, conspiracy theorist, January 6th, and we can just harp on that. And that's going to win us the election. But here's the problem. Herein lies the rub, okay? I don't think election denial is having the effect that Democrats thought it would. And I can kind of understand why. Because at a certain point, when you have someone like Carrie Lake who's saying, well, look at all these examples of election denial on the other side. And then you have Hillary Clinton who's still out there saying she's not only denying previous elections, but she's saying in the next one's going to be stolen. Voters start to go, especially the independent voters start to go, well, this is just the new norm. Every time a party loses an election, they're going to claim it was stolen. Do I like that fact? No. Is it a little bit depressing? Yeah, but it's not one side. This isn't just a Republican thing. This is very clearly across the aisle. So what do voters do when something's across the aisle? What do they do when both sides are doing the same thing? They focus on other issues. They forget about that part of it and they go, that's just something we're going to have to live with from politicians now. They're sore losers. They can't handle it. That's just something we're going to have to accept. And they start focusing on inflation, immigration. And they do that even more so when things are occurring like they are right now, when things are as bad as they are right now. That's when they really start drilling down on the important issues. So I think, and you know, Bolduc could very easily lose to Maggie Hassan. She's still in the lead. But I do think that Democrats made a miscalculation as far as backing these MAGA candidates, thinking they were going to be able to bring them down very easily, because that is not the case. And at the same time, there's another layer of this mistake. Because once those candidates, and some of them will win, look at Carrie Lake, she's probably going to win. I'd say definitely, but I don't like to play that game. But she's probably going to win. And once she wins, and the Democrats want to cry wolf and tell us how bad this is and how much of a threat to democracy it is, voters can turn around and say, well, hold on a second. You wanted Bolduc to beat Morse. So how bad can he be? How much of a threat can he be to democracy if you guys preferred him over the other guy? Unless the whole threat to democracy thing is just performative. It's just theater. And that's exactly what it is. 844-500-4242. Another part of this I want to focus on when it comes to Carrie Lake versus Katie Hobbs. I don't know if people have been seeing this story, but Katie Hobbs, her campaign office was broken into. And I kind of want to break this down for everyone. Her campaign office was broken into. And she put out a statement and she made it very obvious that she was, you know, shifting the blame for this break-in on Carrie Lake and trying to say that, you know, the politics and the way Carrie Lake's been treating her and the threats, that's why, and really trying to glom this onto Carrie Lake. And can you blame her for that? No, the woman's getting crushed in the polls. She's got an opportunity here to play a little bit of politics with the break-in. She's going to use it. But what I didn't expect was that Carrie Lake is not only not going to take that, she's not going to take that accusation, but furthermore, she's going to question the very nature of this whole break-in, which I give her a lot of credit for being bold enough to do this, because a lot of politicians would say, well, let's wait, let's not state the obvious just yet. And so I want to play you a couple of these quotes. Oh, and one other part of this. At one point, Carrie Lake, she's talking to the media about this, and she's saying, you know, how Katie Hobbs is trying to blame her for the break-in, how ridiculous it is. And then she says, my campaign office was actually broken into. And she holds up a poster. Do I have this right, Jared? And the poster has a photo of a chicken trying to break into her office. And the insinuation, the implication, is that the chicken is Katie Hobbs. I think that's what I've read from what I've seen. That's what she was going for. So this woman, not only will she not just, you know, zip her lip and nod along and say, you know, oh, we're sorry about the break-in, she's not going to be blamed for it, and she's not going to let it go. And that's why I love Carrie Lake. So let's take cut 8, please.
I have a story for you. We had an incident this morning at our campaign headquarters. Now, I didn't go crazy, and I didn't throw a bunch of statements out. But we had an incident where somebody was seen rummaging in our campaign office. And I have evidence to believe it may have been Katie Hobbs herself who was involved in this. And so I want you to take the same vigor you put into the story, the lies that were spread yesterday. And I want to make sure, you guys, I saw last night, Fox 10 News, my old employer, wow. They actually did more to protect the criminal in this case. They blurred his face. They protected Katie Hobbs because they're carrying her water. And they defamed me. They put defamatory statements, lies about me.
Yeah, and I am right about that. She later showed a poster with a photo of a chicken trying to break into her campaign office. This is cut 9. She's explaining why Katie Hobbs is down in the polls. Not that any of us really needed the explanation, but maybe the mainstream media did, because they're probably very confused by how this polling's working out. This is cut 9.
And the reason they didn't, that they did that, is because this was the real news yesterday that none of you wanted to cover. We're 11 points up. You're in a frenzied panic because your chosen candidate is not winning. You didn't want to cover this, so you had to run with a completely garbage story. Shame on each and every one of you. Shame on you.
Oh my gosh. Someone call a timeout. This is a TKO right here. This is just brutal. Can I have cut 10 as well?
And while this was happening, my desperate opponent, who's sinking like a lead weight in water, pulled a stunt, and you guys fell for it. She put out a defamatory statement, and you all ran with it. You didn't do your journalistic duty. It was malpractice of journalism like I've never seen before. And it was an effort, I believe, to influence this election. Many of you are an arm of the Democrat Party. Many of you are propagandists, and almost all of you should be ashamed.
Really, I mean, this woman is just, she does a great job of laying this out, and she never stops telling the media just how bad they are, and I really, really respect that, because they deserve it. You know, I tweeted yesterday a video of Joe Biden laughing at the media as they tried to get a question, and he was laughing, rolling his eyes at them, and then I said, he treats them like dirt. And someone was responding back to me and saying, oh, like Trump didn't treat them like dirt. Now, let me just point this out. First of all, last time I checked, Trump was actually, you know, interacting with the press. He wasn't shuffled back and forth by handlers. But second of all, who said I'm mad about it? I enjoy it. I'm relishing this. I love this. This is for me. This is a mutually beneficial type of thing. You know, they're going to turn on Joe Biden after November and they're going to treat Joe Biden like dirt. And I'm going to love that, just like right now I'm loving the fact that Joe Biden treats them like dirt. And it's hilarious that he does it, because they're so nice to him. They're carrying so much water for him. So you're never going to catch me when the media is getting a beatdown. Not, I'm just figuratively speaking, of course. When they're getting criticism, I'm always going to be on the sidelines cheering. I'm always going to be a fan of that, no matter who it is. no matter who it is. 844-500-4242. No update so far on what's happening with Nancy Pelosi, but Nancy Pelosi was not home. Her husband, Paul, was at their San Francisco home when someone broke in and attacked him with a hammer. We're still waiting on some updates about that. But crime right now in San Francisco and the Golden City is out of control. And I have to imagine that given their net worth, that they live in a very, you know, wealthy, probably safe neighborhood. And if it can happen to them, you know, it's very scary. It is. And we hope he's okay. We heard that he's recovering and we're happy about that. But this is something that the Democrats have been ignoring crime for a very long time. And it's unfortunate because you hate to see this stuff happening. 844-500-4242. Oh, and I got to read you one more. I got to read you one more hilarious Twitter take. This was from The Independent, okay? This is one. This might be the most dramatic one I've seen so far. RIP Twitter, 2006 to 2022. Dead at the hands of Elon Musk.
Stop it. Get some help.
Everyone should be embarrassed. This is just too much. Take a break. Take a break. Go outside. You know, like it's taking a nice breath of fresh air. Go get a nice coffee. Mix it up. You're on the computer too much. And that's coming from me. And I'm on the computer a lot. Jared can attest. I'm on the computer all the time. Sometimes you need to step away. Go to McDonald's. Get some nuggets.
Use the Wi-Fi.
Just everybody, calm down. Many of us think of Cape Cod as the place to be during the summer, but you know what? Fall and winter are super special too. That's what all these people who are melting down on Twitter, that's what they need. They need a little getaway. They need to go to Cape Cod because it's so tranquil right now. You go there, you sit on the beach, you enjoy the ocean, you walk into town, it's nice and it's a little bit chilly, you wear a sweater, you go to the stores, yeah, you get a nice reservation at a restaurant. And the best part is I have the perfect place for you to stay, the Nassau Beach Inn. These rooms are beautiful, they're immaculate, they're right on the water, they've got a gorgeous view of the ocean, two queen-size beds. You can't beat this. They've got mini fridges. They're pet friendly. They've got all the amenities you could possibly want. And plus, like I said, you're not going to find a better location. Now, I'm going to tell you about the rates here, but I want to tell you something else before I even get into it. You want to act on this fast because these are good till the end of October. We're coming right up on that. So reservations fill up very quickly. Now, special winter rates from November through March 31st start at $119.99 on weekdays, $149.99 a night on weekends. That's a really good deal. Again, it's $119.99 on weekdays, $149.99 a night on weekends. These off-season rates go until the end of October. October ends on Monday. Halloween is Monday. Reservations fill up quickly, so book early at NassauBeachInn.com. That's NassauBeachInn.com. We'll be right back with your calls, and I want to talk a little bit about Halloween candy when we come back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Call on Grace Curley for family-friendly entertainment.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
You know what? I will have some meatloaf. Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some?
Yes!
I knew you'd cook. Hey, Mom! The meatloaf!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Terry Moran tweeted, breaking, the break-in at Nancy Pelosi's house is suspected to be targeted. Law enforcement sources tell ABC News the suspect allegedly entered the house through a sliding glass door, carrying a hammer and apparently looking for the House Speaker herself. Ben Shapiro wrote, and I second this opinion, he said this is absolutely insane and the POS who did it should go to jail for as long as humanly possible. Yeah, this is unacceptable, and I'm happy that Paul Pelosi's okay. And this is an easy one. This is an easy one to condemn and say that it shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen. It's everything's out of hand. And it's unfortunate that crime and break-ins and all this stuff is very common in San Francisco. But definitely hope that we get more information about this soon. Michael, you are next up on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Michael.
Grace, huge fan, first-time caller. So
Thank
excited
you,
to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Yeah, so it was interesting. I kind of have come from a long line of political consultants in my family, and one of the things that I thought about Carrie Lake, the reason why she's so effective is twofold. One is she hits back emotion with facts, and a lot of times the apoplectic left, but then the right has no, they just kind of dither and don't. So she comes back with fact after fact after fact, and I always come back to Daniel Patrick Moynihan's famous quote, "Madam, you're entitled to your own feelings. You're not entitled to your own facts." And then lastly, so provides within her cadence when she communicates. She's not talking down to us. She's kind of just relaying, hey, you know what, we're not going to take this anymore, and here's the reasons why, and step by step. I think everyone on the right should just literally take notes. And I just wanted to share that and continue to do wonderful things, Grace. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michael. I totally agree about the taking notes thing. I mean, just the way she's handling these election denial claims is brilliant. Everyone should be doing the same thing, because it really does negate anything that the left is saying when you point out the fact that they're hypocrites. And I agree about tone, because it is hard. And I'll be completely honest, and I know that I'm not allowed to say this, I know it's sexist and misogynistic, it's tough for females and female politicians especially to relay their opinion, or to relay, like you said, facts, and not come off condescending or shrill. It is. You can deny it if you want, but that's just a fact of life. I've been accused of it before. You know, my tone gets a lot of criticism, but she does have a really good way of staying calm and not letting the frustration that I'm sure she's feeling really affect how she's expressing herself. Bill, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Grace. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Grace, I'd just like to point out the hypocrisy of Pelosi. I mean, she's the one that said, people do what people do. And, you know, it's like a perception of crime. There's no real crime. Well, in your face, Pelosi, this is what we have to deal with all the time. And when the politicians wake up and finally, you know, realize this is what people go through every day, maybe they'll make some changes.
I understand that point of view, but I just have to point out, Bill, that when it comes to things like this, where it's really dangerous and, you know, it's her family, I never want to be as cruel and as politically motivated as some people on the left can be. And like, I don't want to handle things the way the left does, because it's not who I am. So when I see this story, of course, my knee-jerk reaction is, that's awful, you know, and it was probably really scary, and I'm glad he's okay. And I get it. I get that's not shock jock radio. I get that that's not probably what you're going to hear in a lot of other places, but it's just how I feel. And I would leave here today if I came on here and said, in your face, Pelosi, like I would leave here today feeling like a crappy person. And, you know, I know that that's not always how the left would treat Republicans, but it's how I'm going to treat people. Because I think it's the right thing to do. 844-500-4242. When we come back, we have a lot of ground to cover. We got a lot of sound to cover as well. And you're more than welcome to call in. It's 844-500-4242. Plus, I want to talk about Joe Biden and his thoughts on store brand raisin brand. That's a mouthful. We'll be right back.